and we're presenting a special student-produced segment here on the Mark Steiner Show, coming out of the Baltimore Sound Society, an audio, radio, and storytelling collective founded at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, UMBC. Here's their segment about the Book Thing, a Baltimore institution in Waverly that was nearly destroyed by fire last month. Megan McGrath of the Baltimore Sound Society brings us this story.
Hey, this is Adam from the Baltimore Sound Society. So you know that old saying how nothing in life is free? Well, it turns out there is a place called the Book Thing, where all the books actually are free. And no, it's not like a library. The books you take are yours to keep. No library card, no return date. Unfortunately, on March 2nd, the Book Thing caught fire. And though some of the books may have burned, the story of their impact didn't. Here to tell you that story is one of our producers, Megan McGrath.
The concept of Baltimore's Book Thing is simple. Walk in, look around. There are hundreds of thousands of books on these wooden shelves. Leaf through them, smell their pages. Take as many of the books as you can carry, as many as you want, and bring them home with you. Leave nothing in return. Really, this isn't a store. Money never changes hands. Just fill your arms with books and leave a little richer than when you came in. The concept is simple. Free books for the taking. But the impact of this simple concept, the impact of this simple place, is a story that could fill volumes. So it's a little hard to express what we lost early in the morning on March 2nd when all the books burned.
So can you just tell me what happened?
There was a fire in here sometime around 4 o'clock, 4:30, early Wednesday morning. Fire department's been through. The fire inspector from the insurance company's been through.
Yeah.
They don't know what caused it. There was no sign of forced entry. There was nothing electrical in the area. There was no heaters, no gas, no nothing.
Is that frustrating?
Yeah. Actually, at first it was really frustrating and angry, like, find something, tell me something. And now it's like, what the hell's the point? What the damage is done, what caused it is irrelevant.
This is the owner of the Book Thing and keeper of nearly 200,000 free books. I talked with him on the morning of March 5th, 3 days after a mysterious fire ate his life's work. He sat with me in the burned-out warehouse at 3001 Vineyard Lane. The floors and ceilings are black with ash, and the air stinks of fire.
God, it smells like fire in here.
Mm-hmm. What a coincidence.
Yeah, right? Like, why?
We're making ribs.
He introduced himself as if nothing had changed.
My name is Russell Wattenberg. This is the Book Thing in Baltimore. We take books people no longer want and then give them away to people who want them. We've been in this location for 10 years and 11 months.
In the aftermath of the fire, Russell has been practical. On the day I met with him, all the salvaged books, the hundreds that didn't burn out of the thousands that did, were piled in the Book Thing parking lot for people to take one last time. After this, the place will be closed until further notice. But this place has been nearly 20 years in the making, and Russell seems confident that the Book Thing will survive.
This place to me is completely irreplaceable, which is why I'm really happy that you seem to be so like, oh, we're getting right back in.
Yeah, I mean, there's not even a doubt. It's going to be a number of months, not weeks, not years, but months.
Outside among the remaining books, I saw the community rally around Russell and the Book Thing. One after another, people approached him, offering hugs, condolences, and food.
A lot of people chipping in. I mean, there's a lot of people here that I've never seen in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
The message was clear. Everyone loves Russell, because everyone loves the Book Thing, because we all love books. A woman I talked with, Peg, is a longtime supporter of the Book Thing and a friend of Russell's.
Everybody just, like, talks about what an amazing person he is.
And he's just so Russell. He's one person, you know, one person who, you know, was going to help out some public school teachers back when he was bartending. That's how it started.
Yeah.
They'd come in and complain that they didn't have books for their kids. And so he started taking this tip money, and he had a Dodge cargo van, and he'd give them the keys, and they started calling it the Book Thing. And so Friday nights when they'd come in, he'd say, you know, go out to the van and see if there's anything you like.
I've been trying to understand this place. I'm trying to figure out what we stand to lose if the book thing doesn't recover from this fire. I asked Russell, who knows the book thing better than anyone, what he thinks the book thing gives to our city.
I know, it's like there's so much stuff going on. What do you think this place means to the people of Baltimore, just everybody?
I think the whole thing with the books is pretty self-explanatory. We provide it as a place to get books and to give books they no longer want. But I think the bigger thing is the community. It's one of the few places in Baltimore that you'll see people from all races, religions, age groups, just getting really excited, talking to each other about an author. I mean, we'll have somebody dropping off their the books that they bought at Barnes & Noble for full price, donating them because they read them once, and here talking to somebody who comes down and hangs out here when the shelter's closed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, I kind of wanted to take a picture of it, but it's like I thought it'd be rude, but on most weekends, at the same time, you'll see there are a couple of women in burkas, a couple of Mennonite teachers from Pennsylvania, a few conservative Jews with the yarmulkes and the whatever they're called, all looking for kids' books at the same time. They're all like looking to help kids, teach kids reading, more like they want to enrich their children's lives. And it doesn't make a difference what their background is. Mm-hmm. It's all the same. And it's a safe place for anybody to talk to anybody. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a common shared experience about people's passions.
Right. Absolutely.
It's just like you don't have to be 7 foot tall to read a book. You don't have to be 300 pounds to read a book. Yeah. You don't have to be 10 or 100 or anything in between to read a book.
Right. You can be anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like complete.
More than anyone else, the person who taught me about the book thing's impact was the next guy I talked to. Because for years now, he's used the book thing to make a difference in the lives of many other people.
And, okay, can you, tell me, because I have no idea, can you tell me who you are and, sort of introduce yourself a little bit?
My name is Joe Dacey, and I'm the branch manager for the Frederick County Adult Detention Center Library in Frederick, Maryland. So I run the library at the jail.
Okay.
Up there.
Joe used the book thing as a source of free books for the inmates at the detention center. His library at the jail is one of the best in the state now.
Once I got the job at the library at the detention center, I'm coming more weekends than not to supplement my collection.
Okay.
My resources are obviously thin because a jail library does not get the most resources in the world. Not that I don't have things.
Yeah.
But I just have to be very selective in what I use my resources on. And doing the book thing has been wonderful for supplementing my collection in ways that I would not ever be able to do if I did not have access to book thing. If Russell didn't put this on.
Joe's library is so popular that sometimes it gets packed and noisy with people in a very unlibrary-like way. It seems like the books are a refuge for the inmates.
People that come in there, I see people on pretty much the worst days of their lives because they've either just gotten arrested or they've just gotten sentenced or they're waiting to go to trial. So, you know, more so than even in prisons where people have an opportunity to sort of acclimate and, you know, they're there for a long time. I see a lot of turnover in people and, you know, as soon as people get arrested, they're coming to the library.
Yeah.
And it's one of the few things that people get to decide when they're in there because their schedule is laid out for them. They go to rec at certain times. They go to commissary at certain times. They could see the chaplain at certain times. But really, the few decisions they have are things like, what books can I read, or what do I want to read?
I asked Joe which books are most popular among the inmates of the jail. By far, it's a genre called urban fiction, stories set in cities, written mostly by African-American authors. They're so popular that he usually takes any he can find. But without the book thing, he might not be able to get these books at all.
And they're still a little bit stigmatized. I don't know if that's the right word to say, but they're still a little bit stigmatized in terms of the general culture. Because they do talk about things like drug use and sexual acts. And, you know, it's very raw prose,
right?
Which, I, you know, some people have a problem with. It really does bring out some of the puritanical instincts in people, because I don't know, it makes some people uncomfortable. So sometimes you have troubles with that stuff. Mm-hmm. If you look around for censorship, those are the books that are the most censored.
According to Joe, censorship is still rampant in jail libraries. People just aren't comfortable with criminals reading whatever they want to read. To them, prisoners ought to be reading books that will help them to change for the better, not books that might be violent or graphic. But to Joe, this is pure censorship, and he doesn't think it's helping anyone.
So I'm under the philosophy that whatever people want to read, they should read. You know, if people are going to do bad things, they're going to do bad things, and it's not going to be because of books.
It almost sounds like you feel like the books in the library, like they can play a role in healing people.
They can, and it's like the more you read, the more your experience with the world expands, and that I think that can only be a good thing.
This is what I wanted to know when I began putting this story together. The book thing has been a source of free books for all of us here in Baltimore, but what can a free book do for anyone? What can a free book do for you or me or a person who's in jail awaiting a trial?
The best thing about books in prison is that, like Carl Sagan said that like books are magic because they are, you know, words on paper, a bunch of symbols on paper, and you read them and you're transported into the mind of someone else. And for people in jail and prison, like, that is, I think it's the thing they need most, is to be able to be in the mind of someone else and to hear someone else's viewpoint and perspective on the world. Because maybe they have not had the opportunity to, you know, do certain things. They haven't sometimes finished school. They haven't, you know, they've been around bad situations. So the more you can have somebody see the world through a character's perspective, the more they're able to imagine different possibilities and different outcomes for themselves.
I know this might be a reach, but maybe a free book can change a life. The book thing for years now has allowed Joe to find books for his inmates. He's been able to bring them anything they might want to read, books that are comforting or informative or challenging or eye-opening, books they choose for themselves. All the time, he told me, he has new inmates that arrive at the jail, having just been accused of a crime. And he talks to them. If they have specific interests, he'll look for books for them at Book Thing.
A lot of times I get people who say they don't read unless they're in prison. So I think that it can only be a good thing to have them read more, you know, giving them as many opportunities as possible to read something. So if they want something, I will look for it. I will do what I can to get them, or I'll get them something similar or suggest something similar.
Of course, Joe is a librarian. He loves books and he believes in them. He built a whole career, a whole life around books. He and his wife even gave away books at their wedding. Books, of course, they got from the book thing.
It's a one-of-a-kind place that we're very lucky to have in this area. And it has changed the way that I've interacted with books. You know, I don't fetishize books as objects. I give away as many books as I can. I go there looking for things that are interesting. It's changed my whole relationship with books. You know, they're things to be. You know, if you're not using them, they're things to be given away because someone else can use them. So I like giving away books. No, I really like giving away books.
Yeah. Just, you know.
I left the book thing on that last day after the fire with one last free book. It's a book from my childhood that I hadn't read in a long time. When I got it home, I realized that it was oozing this horrible, acrid smell, a smell of fire. Not like a campfire or wood burning. It's the tangy smell of melting plastic and wire, the smell of things burning that we'd rather not have burned. Like all the other books people took for the last time that day, this book lived through something terrible. It's a survivor, and Russell and his book thing are survivors too. The community is united around them, and together they will rebuild.
Think that free books are something that everyone should have access to? The Book Thing of Baltimore is currently accepting donations towards its recovery at its website, www.bookthing.org. This story was written and produced by Megan McGrath, with editing help from Adam Droberg. That's me, by the way. Today's music was provided to us by Ruby Fulton. The story was brought to you by the Baltimore Sound Society, a group of talented, creative people focused on telling great stories. And WEAA, home of the Mark Steiner Show, the voice of the community.
Send us your feedback on the segment and other segments you've heard today during our program to talk@steinershow.org and by tweeting me at Mark Steiner. And we wrap the Mark Steiner Show today a little bit early to bring you another installment of Baltimore, The Rise of Charm City, with Stacia Brown. This week's topic is Penn Station and the Station North neighborhood. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. Our interns are Morgan Barber, Calvin Perry, and Sienna Greaves. Our theme music is by Juan Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. Podcast the Mark Steiner Show and share it with your friends. Visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Have a great weekend. Take care.